నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నారోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం అతో జయముదీరయత్ నష్ట ప్రాయషు అభద్రేషు నిత్యం భగవత సేవయా భగవతే ఉత్తమ శ్లోకే భక్తిర్భవతి నైసికీ. సో వి ఆర్ రీడింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం కాంటు 2 చాప్టర్ 2 ద లార్డ్ ఇన్ ద హార్ట్. సో వి ఆర్ స్టార్టింగ్ ఎ న్యూ చాప్టర్. So he discussed about the universal meditation on the universal form, Virat Rupa. And then now, in the second chapter, Sukadeva Goswami talks about meditating on the super soul. And prior to that, before he starts, he's quoting an authority. Text 1, Sri Shuka Vacha.
Sri Shuka Vacha.
Evam puradharana yatma yoni
evam puradharana yatma yoni
nastam smritim pratyavruddhyatustat
nastam smritim pratyavruddhyatustat
tatasa sajjedam amogha drishtir
tatasa sajjedam amogha drishtir
yataapya yat pravyavasaya
buddhi yataapya pravyavasaya buddhi.
Translation: Sri Shukadeva Goswami said, formerly, prior to the manifestation of the cosmos, Lord Brahma, by meditating on the Virat Rupa, regained his lost consciousness by appeasing the Lord. Thus he was able to rebuild the creation as it was before. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada said, the example cited herein of Sri Brahmaji is one of forgetfulness. So, basically all of us forget. When we take birth within this material world, we forget. We forget who we are. Because this material universe is created from the false ego. From Mahatattva to false ego, and then it generates this entire universe based on that, or the creation from that. So we are all forgetful. So in the towards the end of the paragraph, Srila Prabhupada writes, the conditioned soul, even in the position of a Brahma, forgets this. By the influence of illusory material energy generated out of false egoism. So the material and nature has the potency to bewilder us and make us forget. One can counteract such false egoism by invoking God consciousness. So that is the, you can say, how do we get out of this forgetfulness? By invoking God consciousness. So by invoking or practicing sadhana bhakti and so on, we revive our original position. So the same way as Lord Brahma forgot how to create, so he started to meditate on the Virat Rupa. So in one sense, Sukadeva Goswami is giving an example that this is also one way of getting to the position of purity. By meditating on Virat Rupa. It's not that you can't do it. You can do it. You can come to a transcendental position. So it's an example. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada gives a very technical answer actually, because this whole chapter is quite technical. But he's giving us a way to understand how this material universe is created. Liberation means getting out of the slumber of forgetfulness. So now he's telling us what really we are meant to do. Get out of this material universe where we forget what our original position is, and becoming situated in the real loving service of the Lord as exemplified in the case of Brahma. Okay, so text 2. Shabdasya hi brahmana esha panta.
Shabdasya hi brahmana esha panta.
Yannama vidyayati dhira partai.
Yannama vidyayati dhira partai.
Paribrahmam statra na vindate artan.
Paribrahmam statra na vindate artan.
Maya mahi vasana yashayana.
Maya mahi vasana
yashayana. The way of presentation of the Vedic sounds is so bewildering that it directs the intelligence of the people to meaningless things like the heavenly kingdoms. The conditioned souls hover in dreams of such heavenly illusory pleasures, but actually they do not relish any tangible happiness in such places. So, Sukadeva Goswami now is telling the Parikshit Maharaj not to aspire for the heavenly planets. Why? Yeah, basically it's temporary, and he says it's illusory pleasures because it's temporary, not real happiness. Because based on our senses, the happiness you actually, the soul is not experiencing real happiness. It's based through the senses. So for the soul to experience real happiness, he must be in a spiritual environment, totally spiritual. Because he is Sachit Ananda. So that bliss is something beyond this material universe can provide. And so therefore Srila Prabhupada, in the Prabhupada, he says, towards the end, the half of the purport, the real happiness is in the kingdom of God, where no one has to undergo the pangs of material existence. So he says, He doesn't say undergo the joys, but he says the pangs of material pains. Because it's always miserable. No? Dukhalayam ashashvatam. Therefore, the Vedic ways of fruitive activities for the living entities are misleading. So now Srila Prabhupada is saying, even the Vedas is not giving you the best answer. Nothing's wrong with it, but it's misleading actually. Because everyone worships the Vedas thinking that this is the way to do, but actually it's not openly telling you what to do. It's covered. One thinks of a superior way of life in this country or that. So you can see that many of you come from India because this is superior. Yeah. In fact, it is superior because at least now you all became devotees and have culture. If you go there, then you're one in what? Not only that, there's no culture there. They have no respect for each other, no respect for the ladies, you know. So it's sad. India is number 2 in the rape. America is number 1. And one rape happens every 18 minutes in India. And this is all only reported ones. There's no culture. The men don't know how to respect women anymore. So, yeah. So anyway, they're thinking they're going to be happy there also. So one thinks of a superior way of life in this country or that, or on this planet or another, but nowhere in the material world can he fulfill his real desire of life, namely eternal life full of intelligence, full intelligence and complete bliss. Sachit Ananda Vigra. You cannot experience that in this material universe. Not possible. Okay? You cannot experience that. It's only experienced in the spiritual world or in the spiritual realm. Indirectly, Srila Sukadeva Goswami affirms that Maharaj Parikshit in the last stage of life should not desire to transfer himself to the so-called heavenly planets, but should prepare himself for going back home, back to Godhead. None of the material planets nor the amenities available there for living conditions is everlasting. Therefore, one must have a factual reluctance to enjoy such temporary happiness as they afford. So we need to practice now. Because anything new, glossy or shiny, we are attracted, no? And we want to enjoy that, right? So now recently they released the iPad 4. So in another few months they'll release the iPad 5 or the iPad 20 or whatever, right? And then everyone buys, goes, I mean, I have to get it. And you see a whole queue outside, the, isn't it? A big, big queue. But it's all temporary.
Oh, yeah, a question. A different type of question. Basically, why we came here because of our envious from the kingdom of the God. We came here. And after coming here, like, all the things, like Vedas also, like you said just now, is basically puzzling. So why it's so complicated things for, like, why not it's easy for everybody, because God wants us to come back there. So why the things are so complicated?
How complicated? You just have to chant Hare Krishna.
That's after coming here. Basically.
Yeah.
But most of the people, the population, they don't know about this.
Yeah, because they all covered in ignorance, no? When you come here, you get covered in ignorance because you want to enjoy, right? Yeah, so how are you going to enjoy if you are not in ignorance in the material world? Yeah. The thing is, when you go against Krishna, that is already ignorance. Okay? So you get covered. And then he, out of his compassion and kindness, he creates this material world for you to enjoy independently. But actually, we can't enjoy independently.
Yeah, that's the fact.
Because without Krishna, you can't do anything. Yeah. So we need to then realize that it is because of Krishna I have all these facilities. And so the ultimate happiness is if I'm with him permanently.
But again, like Vedas, like we studied in our classes there, like 95% of his karma kanda basically.
No,
it's
not like that. It's set up such that you can raise your consciousness to more of goodness. But the problem is we don't understand that there's more to it. We are happy with, oh, I get something good, I stick to it, right? It's like in normal material life, if somebody tells you this is better, you may not want that, right? You are satisfied, right? So the same way, even though the Vedas have so many karma kanda activities, it also has upasana kanda, where you can worship Krishna and do other things. But people are already satisfied with enjoying life. So therefore, it is misleading in that sense. The two chandras are here. It's too bright now. Alright, text 3. Atha kavi nama suyavar artaha. Shada pramato vyavasaya buddhi. Siddhe anyarte nayate tatatra. Parishramam tatra samikshamanaha. For this reason, the enlightened person should endeavor only for the minimum necessities of life while in the world of names. He should be intelligently fixed and never endeavor for unwanted things, being competent to perceive practically that all such endeavors are merely hard labor for nothing. Sit here. So, enlightened person means one who
understands who he is and who is Krishna and what his relationship to Krishna.
Yeah, one who understands this Atma Tattva. That means he knows I have to do something about it. Okay. So, such a person is considered enlightened. Uh, And if he is enlightened, that means he shouldn't be endeavoring for big house. No, it's too serious, na? If you have a, let's say you and your wife, right? You have a what, 3-bedroom house? Why would you want a 10-bedroom house? But people do that. If you host devotees, then it's okay. But if you don't, then you have a lot of rooms to clean every day. Yeah, you pay.
They downsized from 4 to 11 to 3.
So therefore, Sukadeva Goswami is telling Parikshit, only for minimum necessities of life. That's all you need. That means if it's enough to give you a roof, shelter, keep you away from the elements, particularly the rain, then you are okay.
The minimum also keeps growing as we...
No, that means you didn't understand what your minimum is. Minimum means minimum. Right? It's like, I gave this example the other day, right? If you can buy a Toyota, why do you need a BMW? One can argue, because I have money.
Yeah.
It's basically, it's just one way to qualify why one want to enjoy the material world. It's not because it's if you take 10 years to decide to buy a car and then you buy one, then I'll say okay, then you are buying a quality car. But if you are every few years you upgrade and upgrade, then there's something is wrong. Then that's not true, right? What is the life of a typical car? How long can you use it?
10 to 15.
Okay, 10 to 15 years. So what is the minimum time most people turn over their car?
4 years, 4 5 years.
3 to 4 years. So that's unnecessary. Unless you got a lemon, then it's a different thing.
But if you go the other way, you look like misers.
No, not misers. One uses everything in the service of Krishna. That's why you minimize this. What did we learn from the previous chapter? One should practice?
Austerity.
Vairagya, austerities. So it is not to show people that I am not a miser, so I'll spend the money. It's not for them. You know. Huh? Spend it for Krishna, yeah. Use it for preaching, you know, buy books, distribute, you know. Give it to people who need, like that. Or invite devotees to your home. You can cook opulently every day. If you don't buy a BMW or something like that. So because you don't want to invite devotees to your house, then you can buy your BMW. Yeah, so then this is also atyahara, you know, over-endeavoring for things you don't really need. You don't really need some things like that. Because I know for a fact that I met volume. With the volume not...
Nothing is coming.
Are they receiving?
Is it okay now? Can you speak something?
Yeah. Now you should keep quiet. Give everybody a hard time. Can they hear?
No, it's not okay.
Okay, so he'll fix that. Yeah.
You need too many laptops connected because I have only 12 BPS.
Yeah. No, but video is coming.
Huh?
Video is coming clearly.
Video is coming.
Sound is not coming.
Sound is working. We checked.
Yeah, but now we cannot hear.
So anyway, the devotee or the person who's enlightened, he, as Srila Prabhupada translates, he should never endeavor for unwanted things. You don't need so many things in the world, there is, you know, like Radhika Gopinath was saying, you know, he saved money because he didn't bring his credit card to the mall or the supermarket, only cash to buy. But if you just go with your credit card, there's so many things, oh, what about this, what about that, and you buy. And then you bring it home and then it's like, you never use something sometimes. So they went to a dollar shop and they bought $200 worth of things. So you can see. So yeah.
Some items we buy, we put it in the garage, hoping to use them. After 3-4 years, we call it junk and throw it away.
Yeah, yeah.
So
that's
never opened.
So yeah. So you need to really understand you're going to use or not. You know. Then you spend value money properly. I need this, so I buy a good quality one. Then you use it for 10, 15 years, then makes sense. Yeah.
How to look at in this situation for old age, basically? From Shankaracharya, he said that Moodmate, one thing is there, when old age comes, nobody cares about you. Mm-hmm. Even your wife leaves if you don't have money.
Yeah,
verse is there, right? So how to now we are earning after 10, 20 years, we may not be earning at all.
So you better chant properly so that Krishna will take care of you. You know, because what is happening now is you are being challenged to depend on your own endeavor or on Krishna's mercy. It's something you need to accept first, you know. So you do your best to support your family and so on, and then you always depend on Krishna's mercy. So when you get old and when you have nothing in yourself, Krishna will come to take care of you. That faith you must develop. Because I cannot implement that faith in you unless you also practice the faith in Krishna.
So on the other hand, it seems that sometimes we may not do our prescribed duties. So that's a very difficult decision.
When you're old, what prescribed duties you have?
Whatever, for example, if you have to earn bread even, so you have to go out and work, something like that, basically.
Well, when you're old, your daughters or somebody should be taking care of you. That's what the system, that is what the culture we are trying to implement now. You know, so everyone learns to take care of each other. The community is set up such that you all have loving relationship. So when you are old and you can't do, others will come and cook for you and give you prasad. Don't worry, Ganesh Bhavana will take care of you. This is faith in Krishna.
But we live in the same boat.
Nobody will learn how to cook.
Don't worry. You preach nicely, serve nicely, Krishna will take.
I want to give an example of my grandfather. Yeah. Till the last day, after my grandmother passed away, he would cook a little bit of rice and buttermilk and live.
Yeah.
So he never had to get into any debt or anything of any kind. He simplified his life.
Anyway, the most what can happen, you'll die.
That's not a worry. The worry is that will suppress our wrong information. Krishna devotees.
Yeah.
Because I have one friend.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying you all have to have loving relationship. Then others can say this is a good community. You know, you have to start somewhere. All of you, all of us. So we have to, you know, start changing our consciousness and thinking I'm better than the other person, or he's not my guru's, bhai, so I can't take care of him, you know. No, you all are spiritually connected. So don't have this kind of close, narrow-minded consciousness. Because if you're conscious and narrow-minded, you'll only go down. Okay. So... Okay, so then in the purport, Srila Prabhupada writes towards the middle of the purport, human life is never meant for sense gratification, but for self-realization. So you will see how many times Prabhupada says this. Human life is never meant for sense gratification, but for self-realization. Srimad Bhagavatam instructs us solely on this subject from the very beginning to the end. Human life is simply meant for self-realization. The second time he's saying that. The civilization which aims at this utmost perfection never indulges in creating unwanted things. And such a perfect civilization prepares men only to accept the bare necessities of life or to follow principles of the best use of a bad bargain. Our material bodies and our lives in that connection are bad bargains because the living entity is actually spirit and spiritual advancement of the living entity is absolutely necessary. Human life is intended for the realization of this important factor. This is the third time he's saying. And one should act accordingly, accepting only the bare necessities of life and depending more on God's gift without diversion of human energy for any other purpose such as being mad for material enjoyment. Then the next sentence after, the transcendentalist is specifically warned herewith to be fixed in mind. So that even if there is difficulty in plain living, Sanjay, and high thinking, he will not budge even an inch from his stark determination. Okay? So you have to be fixed in this thing. We are all practicing to become fixed. Okay? So we have to have faith in this. Otherwise, Prabhupada says, for a transcendentalist, it is a suicidal policy to be intimately in touch with the sense gratifiers of the world. Okay, so we have to be very careful, because he'll ruin us. And then we also, just like somebody asked Srila Prabhupada, they said, Prabhupada, how can we become pure devotees? You know, then Prabhupada said, how can you become a drunkard? So the answer is, to be a drunk, you mix with drunkards, Prabhupada explains. So to be a pure devotee, you mix with devotees who are purely acting on behalf of Krishna. Okay? So don't over-endeavor.
I had a discussion with Nityananda
Prabhu, yeah,
Chicago. He said, regarding this matter, because we don't have any
facilities. Yeah.
So he said, yeah, they have already set up an account where people grow old from that fund. Devotees are putting money. They grow old, whatever they can. So from that fund, they will
help them. Yeah. Yeah, that's nice. Yeah. So some temples are doing that.
Yeah.
They have some funds. Some temples have care facilities. So, you know, Seattle also, you know, you all can think about that. Because all of you are not getting younger. Nobody's getting younger. So, yeah, something you all can think about that. If you help a devotee, Krishna will help you. Right? Yeah, absolutely. Text 4. Satyam shitao kim kashipo prayasair.
Satyam shitao kim kashipo prayasair.
Bahao swasiddehi upabarhanai kim.
Bahao swasiddehi upabarhanai kim.
Satyam jalao kim purudanna patriya.
Satyam jalao kim
Dikval kaladau sati kim dukulai.
Dikval kaladau sati kim dukulai.
when there are ample earthly flats to lie on, what is the necessity of cot and beds? When one can use his own arms, what is the necessity of a pillow? When one can use the palms of his hands, what is the necessity of varieties of utensils? When there is ample covering or the skins of trees, what is the necessity of clothing? Basically, the point is, not that you don't need all those things. As Prabhupada immediately wants to make it clear, the necessities of life for the protection and comfort of the body must not be unnecessarily increased. That's all. Just like if you get a good bed, you buy a good bed and it lasts you 15 years. They say don't use it for more than that. They'll give you reasons why, because they say your skin, sweat, all will go there. And maybe it's true, I don't know, but yeah. Otherwise, you buy a cheap bed and then you'll have all the problems. But you don't need to get a golden bed, right? You don't have to get a bed that is made out of the best silk. There are people who buy that, you know, they pay $100,000, $200,000 just for bed, you know. It's interesting when you really do, let's say you want to get a good bed and you do research, you'll find all these weird things going on in this world. Or they'll have a home, right? Sink, they'll make the sink out of high quality ivories. So the elephants die for that. So these are all unnecessary things, you know. So then Prabhupada says, oh yeah, he also says that, no? Anyway, many of us cannot lie on the floor to sleep, no? Our bodies are too soft or too hard. We can't do that, you know. When you were younger, you could have done that, but you're not trained now, so.
In December, when I went to Dallas, I remembered this line, and I tried to sleep, and next morning, the whole body was aching.
Yeah. Yeah, you need to train first before you want to sleep, yeah. You can't just artificially go and sleep on the floor, and then next morning you have a back problem, and then 3 days in the hospital. you'll be miserable with one pain, you can't chant and all these things. So don't do all that. You know, point as Prabhupada says, don't get things unnecessarily. Yeah? You get something, it lasts long and use that. So basically, Prabhupada writes, here the idea given by Srila Sukadeva Goswami is that the reserve energy of human life, which is far superior to that of animals, should simply be utilized for self-realization. The main point here is, don't endeavor for other things when you can cut it out and do what? Devotional service. Spend more time in devotional service. Advancement of human civilization must be towards the goal of establishing our lost relationship with God, which is not possible in any form of life other than the human. That's why it's important. Because we lose the time, we can't get it back. Yeah. So therefore, concentrate on that. And then Prabhupada talks about how so many people are doing so many different things. And people are in the clutches of illusion, material nature, and things like that.
So today one of my office colleagues was saying, yeah, I never waste meat because an animal has given its life for it, so I eat it, but I never waste meat.
Well, at least he's truthful in his. He has some. Anyway, you know, you can help him later on. Text 5. This looks like a longer verse. Chirani kimpati na santi di shanti bhiksham.
Chirani kimpati na santi di shanti bhiksham.
Naivam gripha parabritta saritopi sushyan.
Naivam gripha parabritta
Ruddha guha kim ajito vati no pasannan.
Ruddha guha kim ajito vati no pasannan.
Kasmar bhajanti kavayo dhanadur madandan.
Kasmar bhajanti kavayo dhanadur madandan.
Translation: are there no torn clothes lying on the common road? You can't find, huh? Do the trees which exist for maintaining others no longer give alms in charity? They cut all the trees also. Do the rivers being dried up no longer supply water to the thirsty? That is true. Are the caves of the mountains now closed? Or above all, does the Almighty Lord not protect the fully surrendered souls? That is true. Why then do the learned sages go to flatter those who are intoxicated by hard-earned wealth? So there's a reason why they do that. Huh? It's not that they do it for fun. They go there so that they can help these people to become devotional. Otherwise, it doesn't work. So Prabhupada writes, first thing he wants to make all of us also understand, the renounced order of life. That means we are all supposed to practice this renunciation, actually. Just because you are grihastha doesn't mean you are not practicing. You are also practicing. But not as completely, but you have to practice that renunciation in a different way. It's never meant for begging. That means you don't go, to the congregation members and beg, you know, this, that, and then, or living at the cost of others as a parasite. Okay? According to the dictionary, a parasite is a psychopath who lives at the cost of society without making any contribution to that society. So we shouldn't become that like a parasite. We should always try to help. And charity therefore begins at home. So therefore, a grihastha is meant to perform charity. So how are you going to practice your charity?
Giving certain percentage
of income, what else? Okay, what else?
Inviting devotees to
your home. That's how charity, that your heart will change. I'm saying so many times, every year I say this, but I don't think it's taking any effect. Anyway, it's, you know, you guys have to practice, your householders.
Earlier, when the congregation was small, it was easy. Now that congregation is so big, I mean, if you invite one person and not other person, and then you may not be able to accommodate everybody at home.
No, these are all excuses.
It's
all excuses.
No, yesterday Prabhuji was saying that you have to invite everybody. So
no, well, you invite us. It doesn't mean you have to invite 20,000 at the same time. Right? You invite 1,000 at a time. You understand? So then you invite a few devotees one time, another few devotees. You know, if two devotees don't like each other, you invite different times. Anyway, the point is, invite and then whatever differences will go away. Actually, it will go away. If you start having loving relationship, people won't hold grudges anymore. And then, as I said, that you all should start going to the temple. Once, every Ekadasi, all of you should go and just do kirtan at the temple, together. No excuses. No more excuses. All of you should start doing it. Just put everything aside. Ekadasi, even if it's Bhakti Viksha group, come to the temple, kirtan. You'll see the consciousness will go up. Think about it, but it's again, I cannot force you all. So then Prabhupada writes, the renounced order is meant for contributing something substantial to society and not depending on the earnings of the householders. Okay, that means spiritual information. Not doing it because they want something from them. We should never do that. Then it's a trap. You will fall and you become dependent on those people. And then at the expense of Krishna consciousness. So we shouldn't fall in that. On the contrary, acceptance of alms from the householders by the bona fide mendicant is an opportunity afforded by the saint for the tangible benefit of the donor. Yeah. That's the only reason why saintly people beg, so that they can help the householder, give them some knowledge. In the Sanatana Dharma institution, alms giving to the mendicant is part of a householder's duty, and is advised in the scriptures that the householder should treat the mendicants as their family children and should provide them with food, clothing, etc. without being asked. So some devotees do that. When the sannyasis come, they give them things like that. Anyone who preaches, anyone who needs help, you should help. And not just pick and choose, oh, I like this person, I'll give this. No, then you're cultivating, again, material consciousness. You know? The first duty of a person in the renounced order of life is to contribute some literary work for the benefit of the human being in order to give him realized direction towards self-realization. And of course, you know, Prabhupada says the foremost duty of all the six Goswamis, what they were doing is they held discourses amongst themselves. So you have temple room there, you can have discourses there. Few lines down, Prabhupada talks about how some people are cheating mendicants. Yeah? That's a lot nowadays. So then, such mendicants are in abundance in the age of Kali. After that, when a man becomes a mendicant, willfully or by circumstances, he must be firm, be of firm faith and conviction that the Supreme Lord is the maintainer of all living beings everywhere in the universe. He is. But that conviction must be there. That means what? For the mendicant, what does it mean? Yeah, what does it mean? He's not begging to fill his belly, because he knows the Lord will maintain him, provide for him, yes. Why then would he neglect the maintenance of a surrendered soul who is 100% engaged in the service of the Lord? So Krishna Prabhupada is even saying the same thing. Why would he then do? He's doing it to be giving this knowledge to others. A common master looks to the necessities of his servant. So how much more would the all-powerful, all-opulent Supreme Lord look after the necessities of life for a fully surrendered soul? So in the same way, it doesn't matter whether you are a sannyasi or a grihastha or what a brahmachari, whatever. If you are surrendered, Krishna will take care of you. It may not, you know, sometimes from outside people's point of view, it is not happening, but actually Krishna is taking care of you. You don't know how he's taking care of us. That faith must be there. Yeah.
When Amal Bhakta Prabhu was murdered, so when Mataji asked him, Prabhu was surprised to hear your age, how are you maintaining yourself so well? He immediately said, Krishna is maintaining you. That faith.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I'm not maintaining, Krishna is maintaining.
Yeah, Krishna is maintaining. That conviction should be there. Right? You also know. The point is, we are not convinced. Therefore, we always think, I'm doing it. Right? Whenever you get up in the morning, what do you do first? Pay obeisance to your spiritual. Then you know this is my life is Krishna's hands, my guru's hands, like that. But if you don't do those things, then you're thinking you are the controller. Text 6. Evam swachitte swata eva siddha.
Evam swachitte swata eva siddha.
Atma priyo arto bhagavan ananta.
Atma priyo arto bhagavan ananta.
Tam nirvrito niyatarto bhajate. No, something went wrong. tam nirvritto niyatarto bhajate. Samsara hetu paramascha yatra.
Samsara hetu paramascha yatra.
Translation: thus being fixed, one must render service unto the super soul situated in one's own heart by his omnipotency. Because he is the almighty personality of Godhead, eternal and unlimited, he is the ultimate goal of life, and by worshipping him, one can end the cause of the conditioned state of existence. The point is, we are all actually hankering after Krishna, but we do not know. So that hankering is confused in trying to find pleasure in the material world. And fortunately for most of us, because of Srila Prabhupada and this movement, we now understand what our real hankering is. But because we are conditioned so much, we are afraid to focus on the real goal of life. And here, from this point, Sukadeva Goswami is talking about the super soul. He is actually in your heart, so you don't have to look outside. He's in your heart also, so you can meditate on him instead of meditating on the Virat Rupa. So now he's saying you don't have to go looking at everything. You can sit in one place and you can meditate in the heart. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada writes towards the third from the bottom, we must therefore extricate ourselves from all illusory connections of the world and seek reunion with the Lord, trying to render service unto Him because He is the ultimate truth. Actually, we are hankering after Him as the child seeks the mother. And to search out the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we need not go anywhere else because the Lord is within our hearts. This does not suggest, however, that we should not go to the places of worship, namely the temples, churches and mosques. Because as soon as some people hear this sentence, they think, why I have to go to temple? The Lord is in my heart, right? Most people say that. But why we need to go to the temple?
Because we are not qualified to see the Lord in the heart.
Yeah, because you can't see the Lord in your heart. Or as the Texans will say, you're not qualified to see in your damn heart. So it's like that. We're not qualified to see. We're not. Therefore, you go to temple to see him. Archavigraha. That's the reason why the Archavigraha is there. Who is the Archavigraha? He is the Supreme. He is the Supreme. And why is he there?
Out of compassion.
Yeah, and not only that. What is the other reason he's there?
To accept service.
Because?
To attract us back.
Oh, because we made a covenant. When you install a deity, you make a covenant, a contract. That you please stay here, I will take care of you 24/7. So how many of you are second initiated? So how many of you are doing deity worship?
Once a week.
So much you give to Krishna. I'm embarrassed to say that. What about you all? You are doing once a week. Once a week. You don't want to give. What is the value of your life? Grihasthas means you have to do deity worship. If you can do more than once, you should do that. And it's not dressing toys, please. He is Supreme Personality of Godhead. You have an opportunity to go and dress and serve him, and here you are and don't want to go. Ooh, too much. So it's the same thing. This does not suggest, however, that we should not go to the places of worship, namely the temples, because we are thinking we don't have to go. Right? I'll dress him at home, I have my own deities. If you are living nearby the temple, then Nilamada is first priority. If you dress him, your deity is automatically dressed. So you all should think carefully. So, are you going to start dressing and doing something? Huh?
He comes.
I'm forcing, na?
I don't go regularly.
No, but you should do regularly. It allows you to grow out of the entanglement of this material nature. Deity worship will purify you, and then it will control your mind, and then you can chant nicely. Actually, that's why we do deity worship. We cannot do just simply chanting and that's it. We need to serve the deities also.
So, for home deities, what is the right way to put them to sleep? Is it like we should have proper bed and put them to sleep, or we can leave them standing and say some mantra or something? I'm hearing two different things.
Well, you know, you have deities, huh? That's the problem. You all should just have pictures and then you come to the temple and worship. Get second initiated and do deity worship. Yeah. But now you have, yeah, you should have at least, if you don't have a bed, at least in your mind you offer a bed.
The better thing is to offer the proper bed.
Bed, yeah. Either if you don't have in the mind or you have a bed and offer the bed, yeah. Okay, such holy places of worship are also occupied by the Lord because the Lord is omnipresent. For the common man, these holy places are centers of learning about the science of God. So that's why we have temples, so people can come and learn about how to worship the Lord, how to understand their position, their relationship, and so on. When the temples are devoid of activities, this is happening, you know, a lot of places. The people in general become uninterested in such places. And consequently, the mass of people gradually become godless, and a godless civilization is the result. So as devotees, we should be there a lot of the time. So if you have time, you should go in the evening or in the morning, you should just go there. Who knows, some jiva will be coming. You can at least make some connection.
Every day, lot of jivas are coming.
I'm saying, yeah, exactly. So one day the Lord is going to come down the altar and preach to them. No, we are all doing this mistake, so we shouldn't do these things. That's why I'm telling you all, during Ekadasi, go there and chant. So when people come, they will get amazed by that, you know, the power, the potency of all of you chanting together. And it'll affect them, huh? Yeah.
Also, the Sunday feast, the Aarti, we used to have like all of us will be dancing now. It's been a while.
Because the temple is too big now. When it was all squeezed, you all danced a lot. Because it's nice and warm. Now it's big, no warm air, too cold to dance. I don't know. No, again, I'm saying, you have to revive something, you know. You all have to think among yourself how you all want to continue from this point onwards. Or you just want to do what you all want to continue. Text 7. Kastam tu anadritya paranu chintam. Rite pasun nasatim nama kurya.
Rite pasun nasatim nama kurya.
Pasyanjanam patitam vaitaranyam.
Pasyam janam paritam vaitaranyam.
स्वकर्म जान परिताप जुषनम
स्वकर्म जान परिताप जुषनम.
Who else but the gross materialists will neglect such transcendental thought and take to the non-permanent names only, seeing the mass of people fallen in the river of suffering as a consequence of accruing the result of their own work. So if we become like them, then we don't want to help people who are suffering. You know? Then we don't want to help. We just go back to our home, lock the door, and then we think it's okay. But then there are people suffering. So who else is going to help them? Right? So we can help by when we get together and do something. It's simply by chanting together you're helping so many living entities. Yeah. If you all show that kind of affection and love, you will grow. No one can stop that growing. Krishna will be happy. It's like that. If we all are fighting and unhappy, then why would Krishna send other people to join you? He'll say, you're all fighting.
So right now it looks like a lot of our energy is going in all of this
different activity.
Classes and
that's good. That is good. But still, one has to do... Cannot, you actually, you cannot neglect something that you were doing before. Cannot drop. You should add on. Yeah. That way you will grow. Prabhupada writes that in the Vedas it is said that persons who attach to demigods to the exclusion of Supreme Personality of Godhead are like the animals who follow the herdsman even though they are taken to the slaughterhouse. So there are people suffering and then we are not doing anything like that. We are not trying to help them. We are not reaching out to them. Because they don't know what is right and wrong. Someone has to help them. In the next paragraph, Srila Prabhupada says, intelligent persons who can see properly may look into the general conditions of the living entities who are wandering in the cycle of the 8,400,000 species of life as well as in the different classes of human beings. Alright, so and then towards the last couple of lines he says, but no one is happy in this material world and all of them are either class A, B or C prisoners, suffering because of their own deeds. The Lord is impartial to all circumstances of the sufferings of the living entities. But to one who takes shelter at his lotus feet, the Lord gives proper protection. And he takes such a living entity back home, back to himself. So there you go, another answer, how to go back to Godhead. So when we take shelter of Krishna and we help others, Krishna says, right, in the Bhagavad Gita, the most dear, one who teaches these sacred science is most dear to him. So your idea is to connect people to Krishna and then the rest is between them and Krishna. You don't go and try to fix other things. Next saying. Kechit swadehantar hridaya vakkashe.
Kechit swadehantar hridaya vakkashe.
Pradesha matram purusham vasantam.
Pradesha matram purusham vasantam.
Chaturbhujam khanja ratanga shanka.
Chaturbhujam khanja ratanga shanka.
Gadadaram dharana yasmaranti.
Gadadaram dharana yasmaranti.
Now he is giving the description of the super soul. Others conceive of the personality of Godhead residing within the body in the region of the heart and measuring only 8 inches with 4 hands, carrying a lotus, a wheel, lotus, a wheel of a chariot, a conch shell and a club. So it goes from the right hand direction to the left. Okay? And this form is known as Janardana form. So the Lord is measured from the ring finger to the thumb. So it's about 8 inches. Or thereabouts, you know. If you have smaller hands, then... Yeah, that's different. Yeah, he's also mentioned there.
That's a different form.
No, he's also mentioned thumb. He's also...
That's
also
super super.
Parikshit
season.
Parikshit
season.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's not... This is super
soul. Super soul. The super soul is 8 inches. Yeah. So you can measure...
In all living entities.
Hmm?
All living entities.
No, no. In human beings. Different living entities, different sizes. Ants.
That was my
interest. No.
So it's also said the super soul is within the heart of the living entity.
Yeah, that's the region. Yeah.
So is it not within the heart of the soul?
The soul
or
he's also in the soul. Yes.
Yes, in the heart of the soul.
Yes.
That's how the soul gets.
Yes.
So also in the soul and
heart of the soul.
And this is different?
Yeah, he's there, he's out here, he's everywhere.
Perception is coming because of
perception. Okay, anyway, Prabhupada says the measurement of the localized personality of Godhead is estimated to be expand from the ring finger to the end of the thumb, more or less 8 inches. Okay, if your hands are smaller, don't worry so much. But yeah, I mean, people get too worked up. Oh, my hands are not 8 inches, and so doesn't matter. It's just more or less. Yeah. And then you know, he gives different description of different avatars of the Lord or expansions of the Lord. Yeah? So this, some of this you can find in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, particularly. Yeah? All the different positions, how they hold the different weapons and paraphernalia. Okay, text 9. Prasanna Vaktram Nalinaya Tekshanam. Kadamba kinjalka pishanga vashasham.
Kadamba kinjalka pishanga vashasham.
Prasan maharatna hiranmayangadam.
Prasan maharatna hiranmayangadam.
Spuran maharatna kirita kundalam.
Spuran maharatna kirita kundalam.
His mouth expresses his happiness, his eyes spread like the petals of a lotus, and his garments yellowish like the saffron of a kadamba flower are bedecked with valuable jewels. His ornaments are all made of gold, set with jewels, and he wears a glowing headdress and earrings. It's a nice description if you want to know how the super soul looks like. Huh? So he wears a headdress. Is that a turban or is it a crown?
Turban.
Turban. I'm asking. I haven't seen the super soul. Headdress could mean also a crown.
Crown.
Yeah, I know. That's why I was asking how you all interpret it. Text 10. Unnidrahrit pankaja karnikalaye.
Unnidrahrit pankaja karnikalaye.
Yogeshwarastapita pada pallavam.
Yogeshwarastapita pada pallavam.
Shri Lakshanam Kostubha Ratna Kandaram.
Shri Lakshanam Kostubha Ratna Kandaram.
Amlana Lakshmyavana Mala Yachitam.
Amlana Lakshmyavana Mala Yachitam.
His lotus feet are placed over the walls of the lotus-like hearts of great mystics. On his chest is the Kostubha jewel engraved with a beautiful calf, and there are other jewels on his shoulders. his complete torso is garlanded with fresh flowers. So now the Kusuma jewel is engraved with a beautiful calf. That's a picture, yeah. What happened? Oh, you're looking at the picture? Super soul. You don't have super soul. You are Krishna Bhakta.
Yeah, that one, yeah. Third row, second. Third row, second.
What happened?
Lotus, field, conscious,
Gada.
Yeah, this is a super soul.
Ganada.
Okay, so Prabhupada is saying that all these ornaments that he carries are non-different. Yeah, that's also a super soul. Yeah, it's a crown, headdress. Yeah. They're all identical with the body of the Lord. Eh? All those decorations he's carrying. They're not material. The conch shell, the lotus flower, the club, the wheel, or the Sudarshan Chakra. They're not considered to be material. Because he's transcendental, so he keeps transcendental things, non-material things. So just like there's varieties in material world, actually the varieties are due to varieties in the spiritual world. Yeah. Text 11. Vibhushitam mekala yanguliya kair.
Vibhushitam mekala yanguliya kair.
Mahadanair nupura kankana divi.
Mahadanair nupura kankana divi.
Srikdhamala kunchita neela kuntalai.
Srikdhamala kunchita neela kuntalai.
Virochamana nahasa peshalam.
Virochamana nahasa peshalam.
He's well decorated with an ornamental wreath about his waist and rings studded with valuable jewels on his fingers, his leglets, his bangles, his oiled hair curling with a bluish tint, and his beautiful smiling face are all very pleasing. Now in the previous verse, I wanted to say is there's the Vana Malaya is the flower garland. So Vana means from the forest, okay? I just wanted to say, in case you are wondering when I said why forest flowers. Yeah. Next, 12. Vishnu also wears forest. They all wear forest.
Krishna is wise as Himala. That is
Transcendental forest.
All transcendental, of course. I mean, whatever you see here is a reflection of the spiritual world. Okay, text 12. Adina Leela Hasitekshanullasa.
Adina Leela Hasitekshanullasa.
Rubanga Samsuchita Bhuri Nugraham.
Rubanga Samsuchita Bhuri Nugraham.
Ikshita Chintamayam Yenam Ishwaram.
Ikshita Chintamayam Yenam Ishwaram.
Yavan Manodharana Yavatishtate.
Yavan Manodharana Yavatishtate.
The Lord's magnanimous pastimes and the glowing glances of His smiling face are all indications of His extensive benedictions. One must therefore concentrate on this transcendental form of the Lord as long as the mind can be fixed on Him by meditation. So this is the process of yoga, where you meditate on the super soul. So you need to know all these features properly. So read a few times, meditate. The same way, if you want to meditate on Krishna, you know about Krishna's features, everything, and you memorize that, and then think about that, look at the picture, and that way, yeah. We are not like these yogis, they can do it. We are not qualified like that. So basically here, in a sense, Sukadeva Goswami is also describing Bhakti Yoga actually. He is telling us how to meditate on the Super Soul, in the not in an impersonal way. So Prabhupada quotes in the Bhagavad Gita 12.5, it said that the impersonalist undergoes a series of difficult problems on account of his impersonal meditation. But the devotee, due to the Lord's personal service, progresses very easily. Impersonal meditation is therefore a source of suffering for the impersonalist. It is. Here the devotee has an advantage over the impersonalist philosopher. The impersonal is doubtful about the personal feature of the Lord. Now you understand why it's... Because when they meditate, they see the form, they don't know who it is. And then they think, oh, this is me. Because I'm the soul there. So when they see the super soul, they think, I am the Lord. And therefore, they want to merge in that form. I am that. Soham.
So recently in Bhakti Gita, one new student started coming. She said, from childhood, I have been taught that I am God, and now you are telling me something different.
Yeah, ask her if she got headaches and sickness and what not. And then she says she has that, and you say, how can you be God, you fool? Right? Or you define who God is. God is not sick, he doesn't get all this. Do you get this? Then she'll keep quiet.
Just before coming here, I had a 45 minutes call
with
my friend's father.
Oh, and he's thinking he's God.
A hardcore there.
Impersonalist, mindfulness. Yeah. So ask them, why are they suffering if they are God? If they are God, and if they say they are now doing a pastime, how is it they are suffering like that? Or why are they not superior to material nature? Right? If you are God, why can't you overcome your material nature, you fool? Yeah, then you are a fool. It's a foolish leela.
I'm just here to associate with all of you so that you don't think I'm God.
No. Because the definition of God is not understood. If you define who God is, he is not enamored by anything, he is Atmarama. That's why we went through all that verses, so you know who God is. He is self-sufficient, he enjoys, so why he has to suffer? Who wants to suffer? Right? God doesn't want to suffer, he's always enjoying. Only through some pastimes he exhibits such suffering. But even then it's not... Yeah, it is internally, it's actually bliss.
This person in the afternoon,
yeah.
I was talking to the son in the afternoon. So he was telling, I asked him, like, you, because he was talking about Sai Baba, you know, thousands of people following, you know, the Vibhuti falling. Okay, if Vibhuti is falling, then why don't he cure himself with the Vibhuti?
Yeah.
Why he has to sit on the wheelchair? Oh, because actually he's going through his karma.
Okay, so now you can understand.
Sai Baba explained, it seems, that when people question, he told Rama, even Lord Rama,
I know they will pick
Rama. He accepted, you know, he has to go into the forest. You know, he actually went through the karma, and I told you, are nonsense, you stop here. Then I explained him who is Lord. Then I explained from 4th chapter, like how.
Yeah.
Krishna spoke this millions of years ago, and then Arjuna asked the same question. But how Krishna explained that he comes out of his own accord, not because of karma.
Yes. Because they don't know, that's why they need to read all these books, Prabhupada's books. Yeah. And then we also should read Prabhupada's book properly, then we can explain. Otherwise you get all entangled into unnecessary fights. You know? Alright, so, as I was saying, in the second paragraph, in the middle of the second paragraph, Prabhupada writes, these effects of Bhakti Yoga are called Anartha Nivritti. So now, I remember telling you all that first and second canto, It's the lotus feet. That means to truly understand this, we must come to the stage of anartha nivritti. Otherwise, we cannot actually go to third and fourth canto. Even if we do it, it's just book knowledge. That's why we all have to clear these things before we go to the third canto. It may seem difficult, but if all of us get together and help each other, it is possible. Things which artificially acquire gradually disappear along with the progress of bhakti yoga. That means all our anarthas. It's not a permanent quality of the jiva, anarthas. Meditation on the lotus feet, the personality of Godhead, the first processional step must show its effect by anartha nivritti. So that means you can't even meditate until you overcome anartha nivritti.
So anartha is basically primarily karma and jnana infusion?
Everything, whatever you have.
It's of no value.
Something which
is of no value. Yeah, it's not artha, it's anartha.
I had one commentary in one of the Sri Vaishnavas. He told, one of the arvars, he told, just leave what you have, leave and then catch hold of Krishna. Leave what you have and catch hold of Krishna.
Mm.
He says, like, what should I leave? Whatever you have, leave.
Yeah.
First leave.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. That's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to teach us how to give up all these things. Yeah, you know. And you notice Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told some people to leave, some people not to leave. So we have to see where we are at. According to anarthas, we can't do everything like another person can do. So Prabhupada continues, the grossest type of anartha which binds the conditioned soul in material existence is sex desire. And this sex desire gradually develops in the union of the male and female. Then about four or five lines down, Srila Prabhupada says, the conditioned soul is encircled by such products as well as products of sex desire, and therefore bhakti yoga leads to gradual evaporation of the sex desire, which is summarized in three headings, namely profit, adoration and distinction. So all these are sex desires.
Sex desire.
Yeah.
Subtle form.
And therefore we want people to, you know, okay, I'm so good, like this. And sex is actually coming in a different way.
So it's most difficult. This
That's why you need to get together and serve the devotees.
One solution.
What?
Okay.
Yeah, that's actually the solution. Service to each other and showing love to each other will get rid of profit, adoration, distinction. Humility will develop. You know, all conditioned souls are mad after these different forms of sex desire. And one shall see for himself how much he has been freed from such material hankerings based primarily on the sex desire. So you don't even have to ask anybody. You know yourself where you are at. So profit, adoration, distinction. Yeah, it seems funny, but it's a fact. As a person feels his hunger satisfied after eating each morsel of foodstuff, he must similarly be able to see the degree to which he has been freed from sex desire. That means how much you want people to look up to you, talk about you, and then when you walk, you hear your name, you say, oh, I'm so good. Yeah, you have to give up. When you hear that, you must think, oh my God, why are they talking about me? Not why about Prabhupada and Krishna. It should be like that. So that quality you have to develop.
So any activity we do, there is profit.
Yes. Anything you do, there's profit. You know. For example, if somebody says, if Mahari Vilas calls somebody to come, you say, I'll go and give. Then you are thinking, everyone will think I'm doing it. Yeah. It is there. It is so contaminating in this material.
But almost, there's two obvious, I mean, just trying to think of a practical way of doing it. One is obviously we become more and more attracted to the positive, like hearing about Krishna's name instead of my name, but devotee's name.
True, but then you see, to do that, you need to come down from your ego.
Yeah.
And you can't just, like, even you've been chanting, right? But why is it we are not developing a taste? Because we are committing all kinds of offenses among ourselves. Inattentiveness, offenses. That's why if you can solve the relationship at the root core level, then everyone will be loving to each other. Blessings will come, and then you will have the shakti to chant nicely. It's not going to come any other way, you know. Everyone is hoping that the Lord will take an exceptional PhD for us, right? You know? Graduate degree. What is that, Prabhupada says? You get the... What is that? You get... No, but why when somebody gives you without going through...
Honorary
postgraduate, yeah. So we are thinking, all of us hoping for honorary degree by the Lord, but it's not going to happen like that. Very few people will get that.
Another way is, as you said, is we become very conscious of this thing, that what I am feeling when I hear my name,
yes.
Almost despising it is probably another way to...
Not in a negative sense, despise, but in a very, it should be in a very sad and disgusted way.
Yeah, that's right.
Not despise it.
Yeah,
right? Yeah.
Sad and
disgusted. Yeah.
Because so, the natural tendency.
Yeah. So to cultivate that quality, you can only cultivate when you serve other people. It's not going to be thinking also doesn't work. When you start serving, you will feel that this is such a wonderful thing to do. And then, after you serve, this humility develops. Then when you hear your name, because you don't like to hear it. That's humility. It's not going to be because, I am reading so much, I will get humble. No. That reinforces when you practice it. Oh yes, I've read about this, it's true, I'm getting this contamination.
Yeah.
So, you know, this has to be actively pursued. So this is what Prabhupada's beautiful purport is all about. The sex desire is diminished along with its various forms by the process of Bhakti Yoga, because Bhakti Yoga automatically, by the grace of the Lord, effectively results in knowledge and renunciation. Vasudeva, Bhagavati, Bhakti Yoga, Janadi Ashu, Yana, Haitakam. So automatically, knowledge and renunciation will come. Because it will occur to you, actually you're doing this. That's knowledge. Why am I doing this nonsense? And then it will occur to you, I shouldn't be eating too much and sleeping too much. Automatically you will think, because I want to serve the Lord. It will come. It's a fact. That's what Prabhupada says, effectively results in knowledge. And that's what in the first canto we studied, Vasudeva Bhagavati.
Sometimes distinction comes, whether we tried or not. Maybe we worked 10 years ago or 10 lifetimes ago, whatever.
Yes.
That suddenly
it will come.
How do we deal with that? It's coming, whether we like it or not.
Yeah, so with the knowledge now, you know these things are coming, you know it's coming. So then you have to sit and think about why is it coming. So, situation like that, we pray to God, the Lord pray to our spiritual master and say, you know, I'm so fallen that these things are always coming without my doing anything. Right? Sometimes evil thoughts come. Why? Previous life, past life, this life, those are nonsense, you know. The thought comes just like that.
If you mentioned before, if you're situated in the community platform, you can handle this.
Yes. If you're alone, then you can't handle it. But if you have all the associates, then you can say, I'm having this problem, can somebody help? And if all the devotees pray for you, isn't that more powerful than you praying yourself? Right? If 10 people go knocking on the door of the mayor's office, he'll listen. But if one guy comes, say, ah. Right? So that's why association and doing it in the right way. If you want to go back, you can't go back alone. You have to go back together. It's the safest route. At least you know who's going with you. Whether you go hell or heaven. At least you have some companion, right? On a long road, it's better to have a companion than to go alone. So yeah, so association is the best. You know, whether it's for the good or bad, then it's good. No, I'm not like making it up, it's a fact. You have to have good association. And it's good, you know, you when you ask like that, it's good. It makes everyone think also. So it's good, what you're asking is good. Yeah. It helps others also. Sometimes not all of us can think deeply, you know, then we are too superficial because of our conditioning. So others who can think in crooked ways can help us understand also. No, it's true. It's very useful. Then Prabhupada continues, even if the devotee is not materially very well educated, actually knowledge is such chit, it's a chit potency. So that one will manifest. So Krishna allows to understand, oh, this is better to do this. Or when you hear some devotee speak, you immediately know this is a good thing. Because the Lord from the heart is saying, yes, this is good. Yeah. So we practice properly, then he will also give us signs and symptoms how to do. There's this story about the preacher, right? You all heard about the preacher?
Preacher carries the lady across the ocean.
No. There's one, I think it's Christian thing where he's preaching. Then it so happened he was preaching in an island and then started to flood and make heavy rains. So then everyone started to evacuate the island. Everyone's going. Then they told the preacher, let's go. You know, he said, no, I will depend on the Lord. So then he started to say, oh Lord, please help me. Then the water level started rising, you know. So then a boat came, you know, with the police boat, patrol boat over there. And then they say, come, let's go. And then he said, no, I'm depending on the Lord, he'll save me. So the water reached, so he went up higher and higher, it's coming. And finally, a big boat, ocean liner came near also. The captain said, let's go, this is the last time we are, you know. And he said, no, I'm praying to the Lord, you know, he'll come and preach, pick me up. And he goes, oh Lord, don't forget me, you know. Then the chopper came, helicopter. Then they came near and said, come, let's go. He said, no, I don't, the Lord will save me. Then they left also. Then finally he drowned and died. So then he went to the pearly gates and then he meets the Lord. He said, Lord, I prayed to you, why you didn't come? The Lord looked at him and said, you rascal, I sent you three people and you can't even... I sent you three times people to help you, you didn't even want to listen. And you're accusing me of not helping you. So we have to become able to understand when the Lord is reciprocating with us. How do you know? Again, through devotees, association. Huh? You ask a senior, I had this, this is what I'm thinking, what do you think? And then not don't do artificially ask 10 devotees and do your own damn thing, you know. Then don't ask them. Then, you know, don't ask, because it's aparad also. You're not thinking carefully. It's actually offenses. You know? Because Krishna may be speaking through them and you are not listening to them. So cultivate good relationships so you know, and then you make a decision for the good or bad of it, and you know you did it sincerely. It will take a long time to get to this stage, but you have to start. If you don't start, when are you going to start? Right? The sooner you start, then the more time you can refine it. The later you start, you have no chance to refine it.
Actually, when we seek help also, we put a material filter.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So we need to, you know, overcome those inhibitions. It's a test. Whenever you have an opportunity to cross there, you have to take that leap of faith with Krishna and the devotees. Otherwise, then you're actually covering yourself with more material coverings.
I have heard, like,
help from Krishna. So it's like taking service from the Krishna, and you should not take service from the Krishna.
Yeah, that's at a high level they're talking, but you at this level, you have to ask Krishna help. First, ask to get purified, right?
It's all right.
To go back to Godhead and you pray, please take me away, that's not wrong.
For the material things and other things, like whatever, like something.
Even material things, you, if you need, you should ask for Lord to help you. Yeah, it's not the best, but who are you going to ask? Yes. Some demigods?
Yes.
Yeah.
Any karma?
He says that, our karma, so we're going to come to that, yeah. Moksha karma, though. Vrena Bhakti Yogi, ne? Yajate Purusham Param.
Devotees also, one time ahead. When you have that kind of a prayers, then always you can qualify it. Please, if you think it's good for my devotions, like that, you can put a qualification.
Yeah, but you know, you have to be practical also. No? You all, you know, it is correct, but the prayer should be, for example, if your kid is dying, right, and then you need to buy something. And then you have to borrow money. Then you're going to tell the Lord, if you so desire, give me. The Lord will think, what is wrong with you? Why are you coming to ask me this? You understand? Practically, we have to know when to pray and when you don't pray certain things, you know, right? Don't. If you need to borrow money from your friend, you're not going to go to the Lord and say, if you think it's good for my spirit, you tell me. The Lord's not going to come and tell you, go and borrow. It's not. Huh?
Bhagavatam also, you know, Brahma and
other
devatas in trouble.
They go to Krishna. They are forced to go to Krishna. They don't know what to do. So, you know, qualify in certain circumstances that you need to qualify. And please, if you think it's good for me. Like, you know, I'm going to, I already married one time. If I'm going to marry again, is it good for me? Like that. Why are you laughing? Things like that, extreme things. Is it good for your spiritual life? Like that, yeah. But in emergency situation, you ask a few devotees, there maybe Krishna may speak through them, right? Senior Vaishnava, you ask them, they will give you good advice. Why would anyone want to give a bad advice?
Yes, Prabhuji gave for me, when my father passed away, so that night I was in Prabhupada's home, Prabhuji and love came. I don't know what to do because I was talking to my mother. He's my mother and my uncle, they were alone. And they don't know language.
Yeah.
And everybody else left. So we were actually in, I don't know what to do. Basically, we were planning to take my father's body from Puri to Pishan, like my hometown.
Mm.
But then Prabhuji came and told, no, it's not good. It's better you do it in Puri. Then I just, that's it. So he just told me and then I just took it and then everything.
Yeah, that's right. You see the way Krishna is speaking through him. Yeah, if your relatives are calling you and they'll say,
actually,
right?
There was so much confusion.
Right.
Everybody thought, but after Prabhuji told, then I told, this is it. And my mother also, you know, worried that, you know, we have to go back. And don't worry anything. Prabhuji and they were, so then that time I really, you know, felt.
Yeah. The prayers are effective, like when you say qualified prayers, are effective when a very advanced devotee tell you how to pray. But when you yourself do, it usually is not. Because Prabhupada gave devotees how to pray. He said, do this, and then sometimes. You can't everyone pray like that. Yeah. Like, you know, if you want to pray with qualification, if you so think that it's good for my spiritual life, then you do this, do that. That if it's a very advanced devotee tells you this is how you should pray, then you do like that. Don't on your own concoct some prayers and do it. Because we don't know how to actually pray. That's why I said you follow prayers of Queen Kunti and all those kind of prayers, you can repeat those prayers. But we can't manufacture our own prayers, you know. Because we have a tendency to twist things away and then, yeah. We may also sometimes qualify and say, if you think it's good for my spiritual life, please don't, you know, do this or don't do this. But then we are thinking he should do it. Right?
The
desire is different, but you pray one thing. What is the... So therefore, be honest. If you really want it, just tell him you want it, and then let Krishna sometimes decide what is good for you. And that's what, if you read, you find in the Krishna, I mean, in Prabhupada's book, he says that sometimes the Lord won't give you what you want. Right? We read that. He won't give you that until you become purified. So to make you become purified, you will go through a lot of purifications. Yeah, qualified purifications. And you may not like that purification. But then once you purify, then you won't even want that, ultimately.
So to repeat Kunti Devi's prayers, they are at a very high level. They are beyond liberation type prayers. So you cannot artificially also say those.
Of course, your desire is different from her desire. But to pray in her mood is something you want to come to, right? So by repeating her prayer and asking to inculcate her mood is what you are praying for. Yeah. And then maybe one fine day you will come to that stage. Alright, so the... Yeah, we're 9:15, right?
13.
Yeah, I know. So, in the last paragraph, Srila Prabhupada says, so purification means getting free gradually from sex desire. So the whole process is gradual. It's not going to be instantaneous. And this is attained by meditation on the person of the Lord as described herein, beginning from the feet. One should not try to go upwards artificially without seeing for himself how much he has been released from the sex desire. The smiling face of the Lord is the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, and there are many upstarts who at once try to begin with the 10th canto and especially with the 5 chapters which delineate the Rasa Leela of the Lord. This is certainly improper. So Prabhupada also says we can't go to the 10th canto. So until we get released from sex desire, we can't even go to the 10th canto. Heavy, no? So we all can say, okay, we are stuck. And in the last line, Prabhupada says, one must complete the purificatory process by assimilating the content of the first 9 cantos. Then one should be admitted into the realm of the 10 canto Srimad Bhagavatam. Oh no, the sentence before that, the conclusion is that those who are still entrapped by sex indulgence should never progress to meditation above the feet of the Lord. Therefore, recital of the Srimad Bhagavatam by them should be restricted to the first and second cantos of the great literature. That's what I wanted to say. Yeah. So that's why even though we want to study Prabhupada's books nicely, still we should understand where our position is. We are stuck in the first two. So even if we read the third canto, you should still continue reading the first and second canto. And when you see the deities in the altar, lotus feet first. And then ask permission to look at them. Yeah. Look at the lotus feet, then look up and say, please help me. I am suffering. So from text 13 onwards is how to meditate, 13 to 20 I think. Or is it 14? Alright, so we'll stop here, 9:50, it's getting late. Anything? Comments?
Very heavy.
Bhagavatam is heavy.
One thing you want, parking permit. So everybody should park on SC14 if possible, because you know, it's a neighbors causing issues. So SC14 is the safest place to park.
Cross the
annual meetings,
for the meeting period.
Yeah, exactly. Please park on SC 14.